with me to Genesis chapter 12 this morning. As I mentioned earlier, our theme for this year is talking to God, wanting to be a people of prayer. And so what I've tried to encourage you to do is take your bulletin, turn on the back side. You can take some notes there, see what I'm going to try to tell you this morning. Keep those throughout the year. Come up with a prayer list and write down things you're praying for. Write down when they're answered. And at the end of the year, just kind of look back over what has God taught you and what has God blessed you with along the lines of prayer. And so this morning I want to talk about Abraham's prayer life. And so I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 12 as he was called out to follow God. Genesis 12, starting with verse 1, if you take the Pew Bible, it's going to be on page 9. It says, "The Lord said to Abram," later on his name is changed to Abraham, "go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his possessions they had accumulated, and the people he had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the oak of Moreh. At the time, Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give you this land to your offspring." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to Yahweh there, and he called on the name of Yahweh. Then Abram journeyed by stages to Negev. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you again for your holy word and how it speaks to us and how it can challenge us. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you might give us an insight as to the meaning of it, but you'd also, we might hear that challenge to become a person of prayer. So, Father, please help us now, and may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Real quickly, as I look at this and read the story of Abraham, there are five outstanding facts. Now, this isn't part of your bulletin if you're looking for that, but this is kind of an extra. There's five outstanding facts that I saw that shaped his character and supported his walk with God. And so that's some of what we want, is to build a godly character, and we want that consistent walk with God. So look into this. The first thing I noticed was that God spoke to Abraham. And I think that's an outstanding thing that we can all know, that God wants to speak to us. Do we hear him would be the question. And so this call from God, it was real. It says there in verse 1, the Lord said to Abram. It was challenging. God says, hey, go out and follow this word. It was encouraging because he was going to become a great nation. And it was life-changing. And so this call, and we could perhaps identify with all of those. If you can think back to the time when you became a Christian and God called you out to follow him, we're not the same person. Our life was changed. It was challenging as a young person to try to follow God and live for him. It was a real call I remember so well when God was speaking to me. And so this was important. Number one, that God called Abraham or spoke to him. The second outstanding fact that I find here in Genesis, looking at Abraham's life that shaped his character and supported his walk with God, is that Abram did what God commanded. There's something about obeying or obedience that just kind of touches our life, sets an example, and ministers to other people. Abraham did as God commanded. Now, I'm sure there was preparation, God says, go out, but I'm sure he had to go home. He had to tell his dad. He had to get his stuff together. If you've ever gone on vacation, sometimes our wives like to pack a lot of stuff. And so Abraham was married, and he had to gather his stuff. So there was some preparation, but he obeyed God. And that was so important. It may not have happened immediately, but there was obedience. Verse 4, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Outstanding fact, obeying God. The third thing that shaped his walk with God was that Abraham built an altar. And when he got there, he built an altar dedicating to God. This was a symbol of a devoted heart. His devotion was to God and to follow him and to obey him. So he built this altar as a symbol of a devoted heart. It was also a symbol of a priority in worship. You know, he came there and he wanted to set up a time when he was going to worship. He didn't want to go out and plant fields. He didn't want to do everything. He wanted to say, God, you are important to me. And so he gave this priority in worship as he built this altar. But the altar not only was a devoted heart and a priority in worship, but it was a thing of commitment to one true God. God, you are our God. There's not multiple gods. There's not other things we're going to worship. But God, it's all about you. And so Abraham demonstrated this. Oh, the fourth thing that I notice as I'm reading through here, outstanding facts that shaped his character and supported his walk with God. The fourth one was that Abraham called on the name of God. There's something about that. Jesus tells us, or Paul writes, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's something about that. We talked about that earlier in our prayer times, about the name of God. There's something about that name. He's given him a name that's above every name, a name that of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's something about that name. And so Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Now, this is not a one-time event that took place there. He was called God, and he had a personal relationship with him. And so I like that in verse 8. From there, he moved on the hill country to Bethel, pitched his tent, and he built an altar there, and he called on the name of Yahweh. When you're in need, when you're hurting, when you're in trouble, when you have a crisis, when something's going on, what do you call out? I hope we call upon God. The fifth outstanding fact for me is I like the last verse there. Abraham journeyed by stages. Now, literally, he's talking about traveling from one place to another, and he's just going by stages. But, you know, as a preacher, I like to think that my relationship with God has come in stages. There was a time when I was 9 years old when I called upon the name of the Lord and Jesus Christ came into my life. I would say he saved me. I became a Christian, but I didn't start living for him. The next stage came when as I was trying to get serious about God, that I started having a quiet time and I started, to me, God became real. At 9 years of old, as a 9 year old, I prayed. But later on, God became real. This morning, I was praying for my family. And so I prayed, God, please be with Timothy and Patrice, Michael and Danny, Thomas, Jeremiah, Izzy, Zeke, Caleb, Luke, Levi, Madison, and Marley. And at the end of my prayer, I says, God, become real to them. So often, God is either a swear word, it's just a word that we use passing by, or it's just a concept of something. But this morning, as my sons and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren go to church, I don't want it to be about church. Now listen, I'm a church fanatic. I live here. But I don't want it to be about church. I want it to be about a real relationship with God. And as I looked to Abraham and how he was traveling by stages, I thought back of the stages of my life when I was 9 years old. Okay, I was a Christian. I would have gone to heaven if I would have died. But it wasn't until later on that God became real to me and I was concerned about obeying him and pleasing him. And so the stages of our life. The stages would probably say, I'm not where I used to be. And we want to progress. And so all of this kind of sets up a life's journey in stages. For Abraham, his life, his faith, his obedience, the different stages, all of this affected his prayer life. And it serves as a model for you and I in our prayer life. So I want to share with you, I think, five things, whatever the bulletin says there, about Abraham's prayer life. The first one I want to look to is his early prayer life struggled. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. His early prayer life struggled. There were things that were going on in his life. We find in Genesis chapter 15, starting with verse 1. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram, in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But. Three little letters. But. This is something that ties together a thought. God says, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. You're going to get a great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abraham continued, the poor me, look, you've given me no offspring. So I have a slave born in my house who will be my heir. There was a struggle in Abraham's prayer life. God had promised him. God said, don't worry about it. But something came along there, and Abraham was struggling in his prayer life and started talking to God like this. Even godly people struggle with their faith at times. All of us go through stages that are difficult, whether it be a physical thing, of a sickness or a death or a financial thing. There's struggles that come our way, and all of us are going to be facing some struggles in our faith and our prayer life. Life circumstances that we're going to be facing can lead to a life marked by fear. Abraham, God said, Abraham, don't be afraid. And so there was some fear that was going on in Abraham's life. In our life, we can be fearful of what tomorrow may bring. We can be fearful of what the consequences of this situation is going to be. And so with whatever crisis that might be, the struggles in our faith, the lack of our prayer, whatever, we're all going to be facing this. Abraham went through this. His early prayer life struggled. Probably the worst part of the lack of faith and perhaps a weak prayer life is when we try to work it out on our own. Instead of waiting upon God, instead of calling upon God, instead of letting God handle it, we want to do it. Every once in a while, you know, something will happen and I start to do something and someone will remind me, well, did you pray about it? Is that what God wants? Well, I'm not sure, but this is what I want. And normally I get a little bit bullheaded and I just go ahead and charge onto it and do it my way, and then falls apart. I have to go back and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we have to be careful in our struggles with our prayer life and our faith as we go through things, that we don't try to work it our way. The lesson here is to listen to God. I was talking to someone this week on the phone, and you know, your life gets a little difficult sometimes. And so as I was talking with them, they gave a one-line lesson that I liked. You might want to write this one down if you keep notes. Believe in God and believe God. Now, that one took me a while to think about. Believe in God. We're to have that faith in God. We know who God is. But also, not only do we believe in Him, but we're to believe God. When God says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness, we can count on that because God keeps His word. When God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, we can count on God, believe God, that we will be saved. Because God keeps His word. And we could go on and on with the promises that God has given to us. And Abraham believed those promises. Now he struggled in chapter 15, but he believed God. And so I would, my encouragement for you is to believe in God and believe God for what he says. Oh, the second thing, if we're going to look at Abraham's prayer life, trying to see the stages, the first stage was there was some struggles in what he believed and what he did and how he counted upon God and how he confronted God. But the second thing is his prayer life demonstrated that he cared about his family and he cared about people. And so as we begin to progress in our faith, the stages that we might go through, the prayer life that we might have, you know, we start off with maybe questioning God, whatever, are you real, whatever the problem may be, and it goes on to the point where we start praying for other people. And so Abraham did this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, starting with verse 20. It says, then the Lord said, you'll recognize the story, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is immense, and their sin is extremely serious. And I just wonder, when I read that verse, and I go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, I just wonder about our lives, I wonder about our country, I wonder about the world around us, that couldn't we say the same thing, that the cry is immense. Their sin is extremely serious. Goes on in verse 21. I will go down to see what they have done justifies the cry that has come up to me. If not, I will find out. And so the men, the Lord had said that. Now then the men, these three men that had visited Abraham from there went towards Sodom. And while Abraham remained standing before the Lord, Abraham stepped forward and says, will you really sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there's 50 righteous people in the city? Now, this was a large city, Sodom and Gomorrah, a large community there. What if there's 50 people there, righteous people? You could not possibly do such a thing to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. You cannot possibly do that. Won't the judge of all the earth do what is just? So the Lord says, if I find 50 righteous people in this city, I'll spare them. And then you know the story from there. He said, well, wait a minute. What if there's 40 righteous people? And so we have less than 50. Will you do it? And God says, if there's 40, I will spare them. And he didn't end there. He cares about the people. He was also realistic in the city because he knew what was going on. Well, wait a minute. When we see that large city, what if there's 30 people? And God says, hey, if there's 30, I won't destroy. Okay, let's go one step further. What if there's 20 people? Don't we like to make excuses sometimes? And we like to just drag it out. My dad would say, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And that's what Abraham's doing here, 50, 40, 30. What if there's 20? And then he gets out, well, what if there's 10? Now, he knows there's got to be 10 people because his nephew's there. His nephew is married. His nephew has kids, and his kids are married. And so he knows, surely, after all this time that Lot has been in this city, that Lot knew the Lord also, that he's going to influence someone. God says, okay, if there's 10 righteous people, I'll spare the city. He cared for the people, and he demonstrated that with his prayer life. We call this intercessory prayer, praying in behalf of other people. E.M. Bounds was a pastor and a teacher, and he wrote some books on prayer. And in one of his books, he says that God shapes the world by our prayers. God shapes the world by our prayers. And so I just kind of wonder about God's people. What are we praying for? If we can see all this disaster and we see all this evil, we see all this madness around us, what is God's people praying for? Or maybe I should ask, are we praying at all? Interesting thought. God shapes the world by our prayers. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a scripture that said that Samuel didn't want to sin by not praying for the people. The people of Israel had come to Samuel and said, we want a king. And so things began to happen. And so the people said, would you please pray for us? And Samuel's response to that request was, I don't want to sin by not praying for you. There's something about intercessory prayer when we pray for people. I've tried to encourage you, and you don't have to do it, but take notes in the sermon and then write those down, keep it together. I've tried to encourage you, come up with a prayer list. Who are you praying for? You know, praying for the neighbors across the street, praying for my next door neighbor, praying for people down the alley, trying to make an impact in our community, praying for people. What's on your prayer list? Who are you praying for? If my people, and then God says, then I will heal their land. And so there's a need for us today to be people of prayer, to intercede in behalf of other people. Oh, I'm third thing, looking at Abraham's prayer life and the stages that he was going through, perhaps the struggles that he goes through in chapter 15, and how he was concerned about his nephew, his family, concerned about other people in this city. He cared about people. The third thing was his prayers were answered. And so looking to this one, let's go to Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, Abraham was in a situation, and he was not faithful in following God at this particular point. And so he said something about his wife, Sarah, was really his sister. And so this king of the country took Sarah into his harem, and things began to fall apart in the nation. And so this king came to Abraham and said, Abraham, please pray for us. And in chapter 20, verse 17, it says, then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so that they could have children. And so the answer to prayer, God answered. Now, we may think that, well, this is a kind of a small thing. To them, it was not a small thing, but God answered their prayers. This is an intercessory prayer also, but there were other kinds of prayers that God answered. He prayed for a son. And he had a son named Isaac. God answered his prayer. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We read that earlier this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, says, he considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. As an illustration, he received him back. He considered God able to complete his word, to be faithful to the end. God hears our prayers. Oh, there's a fourth thing as I look to the stages of Abraham's prayer life. Yes, he struggled, and I think all of us struggle. Yes, he was concerned about his family. He prayed for them, but he prayed for other people. His prayers were answered. I think that would be a testimony that we can write down on our prayer list when God answers our prayers. And then the fourth thing is his prayers were a response of obedience. His prayers were a response of obedience. Go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Now, I like those three words. My favorite illustration in Abraham's prayer life is this short prayer, here I am. He was there. He wanted to hear what God wanted to say. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He wanted to be what God wanted him to be. He wanted to go where God wanted him to go. He wanted to give what God wanted him. Now, as I look to Abraham, maybe, perhaps, Abraham was thinking about what God wanted to do. As we study the history, we find Abraham saying these three words, here I am. And if we progressed historically, Abraham, and we go down several years, we find a prophet by the name of Samuel, and I mentioned Samuel a while ago about praying for his people. When Samuel was just a young boy, his mother brought him to the temple and gave him to the priest. That was kind of a practice they did, I guess, back in those days. And one night, God came to Samuel And you recall the story. God said, Samuel. And Samuel jumps up out of a bed, goes to Eli, the high priest, and says, yes, you called me. And Eli says, I didn't call you. And so go back to bed. So he goes back to bed, and God calls him again, Samuel, and Samuel jumps up and goes to Eli, and the same thing. He said, I didn't do it, and to go back to bed. And he did that a third time. And then finally, I think after the third time, then Eli says, hey, next time you hear someone calling you, tell the Lord you're here. And so let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to be on page 242. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord came again, stood there, and called Samuel as before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel responded, speak, for your servant is listening. And I'm looking at that and reading through this, I'm just kind of wondering, does Samuel know about what Abraham went through when God came and spoke to Abraham, and Abraham says, here I am, Lord. And now that we find Samuel basically saying the same thing, speak, Lord, your servant's listening, or God, here I am, speak to me. And so I just kind of wonder what God is saying here. And then I think we could look at the example of Abraham, here I am, and we could go forward and we could look at Solomon or Samuel and see his response. And I think he might have known about Abraham. He was a descendant of Abraham. And he said, Lord, speak, your servant hears. And then I think we could go forward even further to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And you recall the story. Verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train or his glory filled the whole temple. And then he goes on and says, hey, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. But finally we get down there in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, God says, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. I just get kind of excited when I see the life of Abraham and the stages and how Abraham, in some way, I just want to believe that he was a role model for Samuel. Lord, here am I, speak. That he was a role model for Isaiah. Here am I, Lord, send me. That he might be a model for you and I, as God is calling us, that we might have that same response. Here am I. Can we get to the point where we're willing to say, here am I, Lord. I'll be willing to do or to be whatever you want me to be. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go, God. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to give what you want me to give. And want to do it when you want me to, not on my time frame. See, I think Abraham's prayers were a response to a life of obedience, living it all for God. Oh, the fifth lesson, as I look to Abraham's, the stages. Remember back in Genesis chapter 12, how he traveled in stages, and I want to look at his life in stages, that there was a time when he was struggling. There was a time when he was concerned about other people, and hopefully that lasted longer. There was a time that he could go back in history and he could say, God, you answered my prayers before, answer it again. The stages were a response that his life was obedience. When God called him, he did it. The last thing, the fifth thing that I see in his stages, his prayer life resulted in him being a friend of God. Being a friend of God. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. This is going to be in your pew Bible on page 659. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, a descendant of Abraham, my friend. Wow. When I read that, I just kind of get excited that God, the God who created the universe or universes, who created everything, was a friend of Abraham. In spite of Abraham's struggles, in spite of what Abraham did that was not good, Abraham was his friend. But one more scripture there. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 2. It's going to be on page 1110. James chapter 2, verse 23. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. I've been called a lot of things in my life, and not all good. But when I read that verse, there's a challenge for me that I might somehow have a walk with God, that I might have a prayer life with God, that when people hear it, observe it, they can say, wow, he was a friend of God. I want to say that my goal in life has been to be a friend of God. Now, I've tried to be a role model of a man of God. I even call myself that occasionally when someone's abusing me. But the greatest privilege that I've ever had is to be called a child of God, because God loves me. And you can experience that today if you haven't done so already. And it starts with a prayer of faith. Dear God, I believe you love me, that you demonstrated that love by dying on the cross for my sins. And I'm confessing to you right now that I'm a sinner and asking you to save me from my sins. Come into my heart and make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. A prayer like that begins that relationship that you can say, I'm a child of God. And maybe someday, as we travel our stages, that someone might say, wow, he was a friend of God. Abraham's prayer life, what a model. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious, loving, kind, generous Father, Almighty God, we humbly come to you today, recognizing that you are the creator of everything, the giver of life, and that you love us. And so, Father, we just ask today that we might yield ourselves to you, that we might come to that point in our life when we can honestly say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me, send me, use me, whatever you want, Lord, it's all about you. Please help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to close our services this morning the way we do every Sunday, and that is with an invitation.